listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. I'm your girl, Sheree Darien. What's up, Savannah? So thankful to be back with you. It has been a while, but guess what? I'm bringing you a group today. I want to say a wow group, Savannah. We're going to have fun tonight. I have a fabulous panel of some amazing women, but before I jump into that, let me jump into this and remind you, you're listening to WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily that of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And without further ado, Savannah, what's up? I hope you are amazing. As you know how we do it, naked, unashamed, and unapologetic with our truth today. This week, we're doing it again with some beautiful sisters. I'm so delighted to introduce them to you. And you know, I always roll out the red carpet. So let's just check the line and make sure they're on with me. Hey, ladies, are you there?
Hey, hey, hey.
Yes, we are.
We're here.
All right. It sounds like we're about to make it do what it do, Savannah. Please allow me an opportunity to roll out the red carpet for these ladies. Ladies, that is my way of affectionately welcoming you to this platform on WRUU Courageous Conversations with Sheree and my lovely, loyal fans, I should say, listening audience out there that I know are waiting on the edge of their seats to learn about you. So let's get this party started. We have Dr. Janaea. Is that right?
You got it. Most people don't. You got it. Yes. But now it's AKA Dr. J as well.
Dr. J, for short. I love it. Dr. J is with us in the house, Savannah. And we're talking about an amazing anthology. I love the name. She is the visionary author of a book collaboration titled Queen with a Crown Mindset. I love it. It's amazing. This book, you may be asking, Savannah, what is Queen Mindset all about? It is a devotional anthology of collective stories of phenomenal women of God who pursued their purpose despite being faced with extremely difficult situations. This inspirational devotional empowers women to overcome negative thinking and emotions and walk in their purpose and destiny. Through each chapter, you, we, myself included, will discover the healing powers of God as each woman shares her testimony, devotional, with declarations and reflective questions. Now, you guys know how I do it, and you already know that this woman of faith, myself, loves Revelations 12 and 11, and I've already told them that is my favorite scripture. That we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. These ladies, I don't even know. And I love this part because I have no idea what your stories are yet. So I'm on the edge of my seat with Savannah to learn more about you. But we're going to get it jump started with a few very short bios just before you hear their voices and they share a bit of their stories. So Dr. J, the author, the compiler of this amazing group is an award-winning social entrepreneur, motivational speaker, best-selling author, and award-winning community leader with a passion for helping girls and women become the best versions of themselves. She has activated her purpose by leading a movement of Confident Queen Collection. Confident Queen Collective, is a social impact organization designed to support the mental health and well-being of young Black and Brown women and girls. Next, we have Aisha Catalano. She is a former educator, now a travel agent extraordinaire and multi-passionate mompreneur. Born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, she now resides in Los Angeles, California, with her husband and two daughters. She is most passionate about traveling the world with her family and bonding, I love this, with her girls. She has created a community of moms, and she is on a mission to help girl moms around the world connect with their daughters during key developmental stages without losing themselves. Amazing. Next up, we have Monica Peterson. She is an entrepreneur, realtor, mortgage lender, and author, and mentor with a heart for service, as evidenced by her 22 years of military service. Thank you for your service. She holds real estate licenses in 4 states and a mortgage license in 3 states and counting. I love it. Next, we have Anastasia Adams. She is a licensed professional counselor in Pennsylvania. She focuses on queens who need help spotting red flags. Say what? Setting boundaries and healing. She also facilitates couples therapy. Anastasia, you look so young. Like what? You're doing all of this already? I had to just pause. Anastasia was listed in Philadelphia's magazine, Be Well publication. She's also listed in the best marriage therapist in Philadelphia by marriage.com. High five. She is the author of Dweller in the Valley, Wounds of an Emerging Queen. OMG. See, I can't wait to hear these stories. Next, we have Dr. Brandy Baldwin. Dr. Baldwin is a business and psychology professor turned entrepreneur who is the founder and CEO of Millennial Ventures Holdings, the parent company of a suite of social impact brands. Learn about her authorship, speaking, and new projects at drbrandywithani.com. Next, we have Miss Susan Shields. Miss Susan has been married to the love of her life for 51 years. She has 2 wonderful children and 7 amazing grandchildren. Professionally, Miss Susan has worked in Wall Street, where she served in the capacity of an executive coordinator. She currently is in the childcare field as an infant teacher. Her ultimate dream, however, is to write stories that would touch others. Amazing. And last but not least, we have Miss Lakeisha Sims. Lakeisha is a public service professional, domestic violence advocate, and philanthropist who makes a difference in the lives of underserved families in her community through her nonprofit organization, Project Give Back. Fellow philanthropists, I honor you. I salute you. I welcome all of you here, and they are all on Facebook. So please connect with each one of them. You're going to hear their names throughout today. Welcome, ladies. Thanks for being on the show. And I'm going to start with you, Dr. J. Why queen mindset? What is this about from your perspective?
From my perspective, you have to have the right mindset in order to get to your purpose. And a lot of times, us as queens, we go through so much, right? We go through so many traumatic moments. We go through just so much, but we continue to press forward and press on. So much that a lot of times we don't really connect with our emotions. We continue to suppress them down, right? So what I want our queens to know that, you know, you can still reach your purpose, you can still reach your destiny, but you have to have the right mindset in order to get to where you need that God has for you. So I wanted an opportunity for Black women in particular to have an opportunity to amplify their voices. There are so many of us that just has some many overcoming stories, right? And they don't know how to actually share it. So I wanted an opportunity for women, amazing women, to share their stories, to impact and empower other women. Each of these women, I personally know, whether they, you know, from my past life or even my present, they are all dynamic. I handpicked each and every one of them. They are just so dope. But the queen mindset is just that we really need to get the mindset of God, because we are made in his image. We are queens. And again, sometimes we, you know, we're just in the midst of day to day taking care of our families. We often forget we are queens. So it's time to really just put on our crown and sit on our thrones. That is what queen's mindset is all about.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And here's the thing. You said something that really struck me. You said a lot, obviously, but one thing that really stood out to me was you said you knew them maybe your past life. Are you, do you have a past life?
Is that have a past life. I really have a past life. Like, I have a past life, like adult past life. Because when I say a past life, it was a struggle. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. A struggle. And some of these women that I've known in my past life helped me through my journey. They helped me through my journey. It hasn't always, it hasn't always been this, but I understand the struggle. I understand what it means to really just really tap into to the mind of God, really getting the mind of God and really pushing forward. Even when days I didn't feel like it, you know, I didn't feel like getting up out of the bed. I didn't feel like doing anything productive, but I had to really tap in and really remember who I am in God. With God, I am all things. With God, I can do all things. Right. So there are some of these women that are on the panels that push me. They wouldn't let me fall. They would not let me fall. So whether if it's like when my first marriage, when I had went through a divorce, I can't tell you all of that. But you got to get the book. You know, women push me and they carry me. Now, some of them I met present that just helped me along my journey, whether it was a word like, Janae, you empowered me, you're an inspiration, but they don't realize and understand that that was motivating me, you know?
Yeah.
So I just thank God. When I say the things of the past, we are new creatures in Christ. Every day we take on a new mindset. I ask God to wash my mind, wash my heart, wash my spirit daily, right? Yeah. Because we all go through things. None of us are perfect. So we are new creatures each and every day. And I am a work in progress. Every day I'm striving for greatness. Every day I'm working on myself. So when I say past, you know, we're pressing forward, but I'm so grateful for this panel of women.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. So we know why you wrote the book. It sounds like you're here to pay it forward. Before I open the show, I talked about serving the audience, right? And I often try to channel them and bring them into the conversation because there's someone that's listening to this recording and I want to be able to serve them as well. And I think most times when people, women especially, are in their own transition periods of growth and evolution, that many times we feel like we're the only one that's going through it. Would you guys agree with that? I think that's it. I know I'm certain there where, you know, and then there's shame and, you know, you beat yourself down. If like, I'm probably my biggest critic. And if you're thinking from that mindset, right? If you're always trying to be the next best version of yourself, I saw that, read that earlier. If you're that type of person, always on the partner's wheel, submit it to whatever God's will is on your life. That's a lot. It's a lot. And so to allow yourself to have grace in the midst of that progress or process is very, very important. But I heard you loud and clear that they helped you on your journey. I'd like to hear what some of that help looked like. Certainly here, if you don't mind, ladies, identify and share pretty transparently, what was that one thing, if you can or are willing to talk about, that you had to overcome? Anybody can jump in.
All right. I'll go ahead and jump right on in then, if that's all right.
This is Monica Peterson. Go ahead, girlfriend.
Yes. So my story is from abuse to abundance. And the reason we entitled that is because, you know, I tell people all the time, you're not supposed to look like what you went through. And when people found out what I had been through in my past and how I had an abusive relationship, they can't believe it. And, you know, I had tucked it deep down, so deep down that when Janaea had asked me about this project, I'm sorry, Dr. Janaea, when she had asked me about this project, you know, I had something totally different on my mind about what I wanted to do, what I wanted to say, and what I wanted to share. But mm-hmm. God dealt with me and was like, no, you got to tell it. And for so long, I was so ashamed. And I allowed people who knew my story to shame me. Okay. But I will tell you, when I got this story out of my heart and out of my mind, I became so free. It's taken 20 years of weight off my shoulder. So I just really hope that, you know, this story blesses somebody else. If it's just one woman, you just need to know that you can overcome.
Yeah. So Monica, I'm going to plug the name of the show, Courageous Conversations with Sri. Want to know, talk to us and talk to certainly the woman that's listening out here about the courage it took to pull the scab off a 20-year wound.
So I will tell you, if it was left up to me, it wouldn't have happened. It took God really dealing with my heart, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I say, you know, where I am, where I live, I'm a public, not a public figure, but you can Google me. I'm a pop right up. I'm a realtor, okay?
Yes.
People know who I am. I have sold many a homes to a lot of people, but they don't know that I was in this abusive relationship. And like I said, I buried that thing. I buried it. Mm-hmm. I don't like to bring it up. You know, when you see things on TV that remind you of it, you know, there might be a tear that rolls down your eye. You know, you hear someone else's story. My friend's daughter was in an abusive relationship. And, you know, it just took being able to go through that. And I saw her, that child didn't open her mouth, but I knew exactly what she had been through. And, you know, I pulled her aside and had a conversation with her and then buried it again. And so this time it was like, you know, you want to be free. You have the money you have, and by no means am I rich, but you know, we're comfortable. We're extremely right. comfortable. Okay. But I have joy in so many other areas of my life, except that one, because I had allowed that man and his abuse to keep me in bondage. And yeah. so when I wrote and I did it in pieces, because I couldn't even face it.
Uh-huh.
When I finally got that last word out, you talk about free and free indeed. That was
it. Is a process.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. I think being willing to go through it, all of it, you said down to the last sentence, basically, you know, yeah. the last words of it, you really have to get to that point where, you know, I'm thinking of a scripture again when Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. You mm-hmm. got to finish it. We got to finish the course, right?
That's
we
right.
can't just start it and get halfway down the street and then, oh, we quit. No, right. don't quit. Finish it. So I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Absolutely. We're going to definitely come back to you. Who else wants to jump in?
I think my story, you know, I'm a millennial. It's me, Dr. Brandy.
Dr. Brandy.
And I really was raised in this household where high achieving was the thing. Like okay. you need to be a high achiever. I'm talking about honor roll, good mm-hmm. grades, all of these things. And so I really, at an early age, and I grew up humble beginnings, you know, we had to heat the house and put the stove on to do that. We had to have that blow dryer on that plastic on that window. Y'all don't know about that. Okay. Okay. And you know, one of the things that my mom instilled in me was that you can have a better life if you achieve, if you get good grades, all about your education. And so I became this overachiever, really in a toxic way. You know, I was the student government president. I was on the track team. I was in orchestra. I had a little business when I was in seventh, eighth grade. Like I was doing the most. And I went off to college, got a bachelor's in psychology, got a master's in organizational development, got a PhD in educational leadership before the age of 30. But I graduated.
I did it.
But look, plot twist. I graduated still feeling empty.
Yes,
still I know. Feeling, right? You know, the world was more impressed at me than I was impressed at myself. You know, my friends for years at a time, they were introducing me as, this is my friend Brandy. She's getting her PhD. You know, that was a part of the identity. And so I really had to do some self-searching to figure out what is going to help me be whole. And I realized it wasn't any of the degrees. It wasn't any of the accomplishments and achievements. And so, you know, in the Bible, we understand that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And so I had to create a new identity for myself in what Christ says about me. Because what he says is, whether you got a PhD or you a dropout, you're still worthy. Whether you have, you know, making six figures or you make a sixth sense, you're still worthy. And so if you were to strip all of those titles and accolades and achievements away, who are you? And I had to get to that. Who is just Brandy when I'm by myself and when nobody is around? And when I went through that transformational process, and if anyone has gone through this with the Lord, it hurts. It doesn't feel good. But what it did was it brought me to a place where I was able to be authentic. I was able to be real, and it was okay for me if I wasn't everybody's cup of tea. For once, I wasn't being what I call perfect. You know, I struggle with perfection.
Oh, what?
You know, and it's been an amazing journey ever since.
Perfect? her fake.
Yes. Now I got a degree in psychology. Now that I can get it into the DSM. I'm going to get it. This as official disorder that I had. I struggle with perfection, pretending like everything is perfect on the outside, but you're faking it. Yeah. I'm going to just let it sit right there.
No, that was huge. That was a bomb that you just dropped right here on Courageous Conversation with Sheree. A golden nugget for sure. You started talking about fulfillment or being whole. Wonder how many women, since we're talking about women today, but it's really society as a whole, but we're going to focus on women, are getting the degrees, more degrees than the thermometer I hear over and over again, right? We're doing all this stuff or have all this stuff externally, but inside is a mess. It's a wreck.
And the thing I realized, I'm sorry, Sheree, and one of the things I wanted to just mention is, you know, I'm not saying that living at a level of excellence and achieving is anything wrong. The difference that I experienced was I was doing all the things to make me whole instead of becoming whole so I can do all the things.
Proper perspective.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I see some finger pops in here. Do you think, as you were chatting, I was thinking, or as you were sharing, excuse me, I was thinking about limiting belief, self-sabotage, conditioning, back to, because I can totally identify with being the child protege, people pleaser, trying to appease the authority figures in my life, my parents, you know, didn't want to get reprimanded. In our culture, you get in trouble, you got fussed at, you got whipped, you got all of that. I didn't want no part of any of that. So I was going to do the right thing.
Yep,
just get me crazy. And then I'm like, all in. So, but I get it. So I try to, you know, compensate, excuse me, here go to banker. I should know that word. I was trying to compensate in that respect, you know, with what I did. And I earned approval that way. I earned affection that way. I earned love that way by what I did, by what I accomplished. And I, like yourself, have accomplished some great things, but that created an identity. I've been sharing with my staff that something, I think one of the most recent lessons that I have personally learned is not to expect me from other people, because it sets you up for disappointment when you do. I love hard. I give a lot. People are people. You got to accept people as they are. It's what Maya Angelou always says, the late great. When people tell you who they are, believe them.
That's right.
Believe them. It is so true. It is really true. Wow. Thank you for that. Who wants to jump in? Come on, this is going real good.
I'll jump in. My name is Anastasia. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I also go by the breakup coach. And so I call myself that not just in regard to healing from a romantic relationship breakup or a divorce, but I help people to break up with the old unhealthy version of themselves and accept who they are in this moment and step into all God has for them and who they're becoming. And so I do that myself. I don't think that we're ever 100% healed. I think we're constantly on a journey of healing throughout our entire life. So I might be 100 years old, I'm still gonna be healing and stepping into my purpose that God has for me. And so I believe in seasons, and every year I will have like a motto for myself that I believe the Holy Spirit gives me. So one year I had a motto, I choose peace, because I was constantly getting into arguments with my loved ones, my romantic partner. You know, I'll just choose a motto, or I'll be in a season. You know, right now I'm in a season of wisdom where I read the book of Proverbs. At one point I was in a season of femininity because I realized that I was super masculine. And so I didn't think that about myself because I wear lipstick, I wear makeup, I wear earrings, I get my nails done. So I thought I was feminine because of how I present myself in the world. But what I realized was I was very masculine in how I carried myself throughout life, because I think I have constantly been in survival mode, you know, based on things that I've been through in my life. And so when we are in survival mode, we are protecting ourselves and we don't let our guards down so that we can feel safe and be free and just operate in our femininity and just choose peace, like I mentioned. And so I would say my biggest takeaway of what I've learned in my life at this point, I was born in the 80s. I'm in my early 30s. I haven't lived that long. But I would say one of the biggest things that I have grasped is the definition of forgiveness. So when I think about breakups and things that I've been through, my biggest takeaway is forgiveness. And, you know, prior to going through some things that really dragged me through the dirt, that left me like bloody and broken mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, you know, prior to some of those things, when my clients would come to me for therapy, I would kind of just speak to them based on maybe what I read in a textbook or what I was trained to say to them in my master's program to become a therapist. But when I really, and sometimes your clients come and share with you heartbreaking things when you're a therapist, and there's really nothing you can say but, wow, that sucks. Like, that is so terrible. I'm so sorry you went through that. I hate that you went through that. But there's nothing you can say to help them heal. And when you've been through some of the things that your clients have been through, you're able to speak to them from a whole different place. And so for me, I would say years ago, I was in this relationship where this gentleman, he was out in the streets. Like, when I tell you, he was out selling drugs. He was driving my car without a license. He was just in my house playing video games all day, every day. And even more recently in my life, I had a woman approach me. She sent me an email, one of those coming to you as a woman emails, asking me who I was with regard to my romantic partner. And I had so many words I wanted to say to this woman, words that are not in the Bible. But I didn't say those things because I thought about it, and I, similar to what Monica just shared, Google me. If you Google me, I don't want to toot my own horn. I am on Psychology Today. I'm on Therapy for Black Girls. You will find my women's organization, my nonprofit, my podcast. I don't have time. And I don't know this woman from a can of spray paint. But if I respond to you with a bunch of expletives and bleeps and all of that, you can screenshot me and put me on Front Street. Yeah. And God gave me a purpose. I have a community to serve. And I have people that are within my midst that God has asked me to care for. So I can't put myself out there like that.
Yeah.
So to make a long story short, what I have gained from some of these traumatic experiences and being able to speak into the lives of my clients, I have learned the true meaning of forgiveness. And to me, forgiveness means two things. Number one, you don't allow whatever that person did to hurt you to stop you from walking in your purpose. And number two, you no longer want revenge against that person. You truly wish them well from a genuine place. Because when I tell you, I've been through some things where I used to cry every day, couldn't sleep at night, wake up in the middle of the night, not eating, losing appetite, calling out from work because I couldn't mentally propel myself. That stuff will hold you back. So when you forgive somebody, what they did no longer has power over you to stop you from stepping into God's purpose for you. And when somebody hurts you, you want revenge. You want them to understand how you feel. You want them to know what they did hurt you so badly. You want them to step in a puddle. You want the dry cleaner to shrink their clothes. You want them to get struck by lightning. Even if you don't want to do anything to them, you want them to receive back what they've done to you. And so I believe that true forgiveness is if you think of them, you wish them well. God bless them. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily equal reconciliation.
Correct.
So you don't have to speak to this person. You don't have to regain the old relationship. You can forgive them and just pray, I hope they're doing well. Mm-hmm. I hope they are living their best life. And so I would say that's my biggest takeaway. And my story within Queen Mindset is called From the Breakup to the Come Up.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Gracious, gracious, gracious. Amazing. I love it. Forgiveness. I think no matter where we are in life's journey, we will always come to a point where we need to not just explore it, but activate forgiveness. And more times than not. It's interesting because the Bible says that you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7 or something like that. It's like, what? Is there even enough hours in the day to do that? Right. But really, clearly, we're not doing it enough. And so I think we all have some room for improvement there. With that being said, you all have been absolutely fabulous. I do want to come back to the seasons, Anastasia, that you were referencing. I'm in a season of fun, but I was in a season of kindness and I was in a season of experience. I wanted to know, because I love this self-development thing, I wanted to know how other people experience me. Because you said something about not realizing you were coming off masculine, and more your energy than anything else, right? How your vibe, right? Is really how we would, and I can identify with that as well, but I was wanting to know how other people experience, because how we experience ourselves and how we think other people experience can often be different. And I was in for quite an awakening when I went on that journey. But I have grown from that. But I'm in a season of fun and I need it so desperately because I'm a workaholic. And so I would encourage anybody to really create their own season and go for it. But with that being said, Savannah, we're going to take a quick break for a couple of announcements. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. We'll be right back with you.
How many times have you heard WRUU's corporate underwriting message? If you remember it, then your potential customers remember your message as well. We are offering this space to connect corporate and institutional partners with our loyal and active listeners. Underwriting on WRUU is short, so listeners don't tune out. It's exclusive, so your message won't be lost in advertising clutter. And it supports Savannah's only community radio station. For a marketing package to increase your reach beyond traditional media, email underwriting@wruu.org.
And we are back. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. I am on today with the one, the only co-authors of Queen Mindset and the compiler herself, Dr. J. What's up, Dr. J? You still there with me?
I'm right here.
All right, so tell me, let's just recap what we just heard from these beautiful ladies. What are you thinking? What's on your heart right now?
Oh my goodness. You see why they're in the book. I mean, each and every one of them are phenomenal. Their stories of overcoming is so powerful. They pour into me. I pour back in. It's just a reciprocation, you know? So just, again, these women have so much strength. I am so astonished and admire each and every one of them just over the things that they have overcome. You know, some things I'm just like, you went through that? You?
Yes.
You went through that? Oh my God, not you, you know, yes. But you know, it's just amazing who God is. That's just a testament of how good of a God that we serve. And I just wanted to say just really, really quickly, a little bit of the portion that I'm writing in this book is actually called Walk in Your Identity and Not Your Issues. So it's really important for you to really identify who you are. A lot of times, especially at a young age, people put labels on you, right? Mm-hmm. People put labels on you and they stay attached to you and it carries you through your entire lifehood, like adulthood. In my story, you know, I really talk about just, you know, how my mother and my father, they broke up in 1989. I was only 5 years old. And that was one of the most traumatic moments at that time, you know, having a mom who just really wasn't over that breakup and really abused me in that situation, really talked down on me, really just, you know, took her anger out on me because she was upset at my father because I looked just like him. And so some of those things held me down. It caused me to not have self-worth. It caused me not to have self-confidence, right? And those things, you know, carried in my teenage years, you know, I made some bad decisions. My young adult years, you know, being in relationships that I had no business being in because I didn't love myself, right? Yeah. I felt as though that I never measured up, you know? So that's why it's so important that I level my daughters. That's why we have Confident Queen Collective, where I pour into our young Black and brown girls to let them know that they are worthy, because that was me. I wish I had a me when I was coming up. Someone to tell me, Janaea, you are beautiful. Someone to tell me, Janaea, you are excellent. You got this, you can make it. But it's through the grace of God. I thank him for his grace, his mercy, that his hand was on my life, even then at that moment. So that's why, you know, I do what I do. I pour into these Black and brown girls, but in addition, I pour into women as a whole because we need one another. But we have to be just mindful of the labels that we put on our kids and things like that, because that stuff carries through. And I thank God for just each and every day I am being delivered. But I've been in some situations that I had no business to be in because I didn't believe in myself. I didn't feel as though that I was worthy. I didn't feel as though that I was good enough of greatness. You know, but this, I am a work in progress. Now I'm understanding who I am. Now I understand that I am worthy of having a good life. And a lot of times that self-sabotage thing, that was me all day. I was at the tip of like being great. It was moments. And I'm just like, no, I can't do it because I didn't feel worthy. So that's why I said, shout out to Dr. Brandy. You know, she pushed me, you know, even when they, you know, I lost my job at the end of last year. Come on now. Mm-hmm. When these people, come on, said that you got to go with no real reason in doing so. But God, right. My sister, Dr. Brandy, poured into me. Like, Janaea, keep going, keep pushing. My first 2 months in entrepreneurship made over $50,000. My first 2 months, praise God for that. And it continued to increase after that. So when I tell you that God is a good guy, he will put people in your life for a certain reason. It was time for me to let that situation, that job go, that I wasn't going to leave it unless God had to remove it.
There you go. See?
And in my destiny, I am walking in my greatness. We're getting grants. Girls are being empowered. People are being impacted. Lives are being changed. Now, if I was still stuck down in that 9-to-5, shout out to the 9-to-5. Not saying nothing wrong with that. But for me, I am paid my dues. It was time for me to move on. It was time for me to go higher in God, what he wanted me to do in my life. So shout out to Dr. Brandy and everyone else. But she was like, yo, I'm not letting you fall. We prayed all night. I had my friend praying and tarrying with me all night. So that's the kind of people that you have to have in your life, because the devil was trying to take me out mentally. That's where that queen mindset. Just moved into my new house, lost my job. My husband's working like a dog, trying to figure out. My mind was just going crazy, dealing with postpartum. Just had a new baby after 12 years. Come on now, somebody. Yeah. But God, this is where that queen mindset. Yeah. The right mindset, dealing with postpartum, not having my family. My family turned their back on me because they were jealous because we moved in our new brand new house that God blessed me and my husband with. House built from the ground up. Shout out to Monica for helping us find our house. Praise God. Thank God for Miss Susan for watching my baby, making sure she was straight. Praise God. And I could keep going on and on and on for Anna and Aisha, Nikisha, who've been rocking with me over 15 years. Shout out to Dr. Brandy. We went to temple together. These are dynamic women. So when I tell you, these women were handpicked.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I hear you. I hear your heart more than anything.
That's where the queen mindset, the enemy tried to take my mind so many times, but this time was different. He tried to get me at a most vulnerable moment. I had a baby, dealing with postpartum, moved into a new area. Praise God. Lost my job right after we moved in our new beautiful home for no reason. Y'all lost the confidence in me. Didn't say nothing about work performance. Didn't say anything else. Come on.
Yeah.
But I knew it was God. It was my time. Dr. Brandy said, at the end of 2021, you're going full-time entrepreneurship. November, when was it, Brand? Dr. Brandy, what, November something? Got some papers.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Oh, got that Thanksgiving
piece. At the holiday. I'm just like, oh God, I'm embarrassment. So there I go again. Because I always dealt with rejection. You understand what I'm saying? I'm embarrassed, not telling anybody. It was so bad, but God kept me. He kept my mind. He didn't let me fall. He kept me going. That's why we got Queen Mindset. God said, you want to write this book. You're going to tell my story. Your next book is going to be all glory to him. He said, you're going to write this book for me. And I'm going to be obedient to what God. This God, this book is we're lifting up the name of Jesus. That God is great. He helped us to overcome some tough situations. There's nothing impossible with God. If you continue to hold on, trust him, keep pressing forward, and you will watch to see how he will work everything out for you. So this is what this book is about. These ladies are amazing. Queen Mindset, get into it.
You are amazing. Let's say that. You are amazing. God put it on your heart. You were obedient enough to him to actually carry it out. And for that, we celebrate you. A couple of scriptures that comes to my mind as I'm listening to you, Jeremiah 10:11. We know the thoughts that he thinks towards us, they're good and not evil, to give us an expected end or future and a hope. So at the end of the day, regardless of your situation, you are not your situation. Right? That thing is something external outside of you. All the things that you reference, God had a plan for your life. And many times we think, oh, I screwed up. I messed up. What did I do? Or I fell short. I sinned. And recently God has had on my heart, to your point of your next book or the purpose of this one is for him to get his glory. And I was thinking about this. The Holy Spirit put it on my heart recently is John 9:3. And I'm reading out of the King James. It says, Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, so that God could receive his glory. It's not that we always mess up. We do. We fall short. Everybody's falling short, right? But it's not always something that we did. Why situations happen, like the loss of your job, a divorce, right? Some form of abuse. It's not. So yeah, it's the blind man. That's right. So let's just be mindful of that. And I hope that's encouraging to someone that's listening, but I can clearly hear your heart and the passion that you have towards this particular project, what you have already overcome, and obviously your love and appreciation for these ladies that are here today. There's a few more that we haven't heard from yet. I want to give Miss Susan, Nakisha, and Aisha an opportunity to chime in. Please, please, ladies, jump in and share your stories.
Well, I'll go. My story is called From Waiting on God to Walking in Your Purpose. I talk about going through a domestic situation, a relationship that I was in for 7 years, and just the way that I felt when I was going through that. I experienced infertility. I was in a place where I did not love myself. I didn't grasp the concept of self-love at that point. I felt all of the negative things that he was saying about me. I felt all of those things. It took me a very long time to get to a place where I no longer believed those things about myself. Mm-hmm. And once I got to that place, I was able to leave.
Yeah.
And when I left, the hardest part was I'm a people pleaser by nature. Mm-hmm. So not wanting to feel bad because he would be homeless or whatever the case may be, he would play on those emotions. Right. So I had to get to a place where I couldn't allow him to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And once I got there, it took a long time to rebuild myself to where I should be. And I feel like I'm still doing that every day.
Yeah.
But it's been a process, but it has been worth the process.
I hear you loud and clear. You think it was a shift in your mindset that took place? And if so, what was that shift? Do you remember like that eureka moment?
It was, he was heavy into doing drugs and all types of things. So it had gotten to a place where he stole something from me. And not only did he steal it from me, but he stole it from my oldest daughter. So that was it for me.
Got it. Wow. Phenomenal story. I want to read it back. From waiting on God to walking in your purpose. That's pretty huge. And something that you said that really stood out to me was what you were feeling throughout that time, that you wanted to share that. I think that's huge because, you know, emotions get a bad rap, but we are human beings, right?
Yes. And I think that people are ashamed when they go through something like that. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to talk about it. There are things that I've been through that people would have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I was too ashamed to talk about it. So I buried those feelings and
like Monica was, I think was it you, Monica, talking about bearing for 20 years?
And mm-hmm. I experienced all of those same emotions. When I first wrote my part of the devotional, Dr. Janaea called me and said, I want you to talk about how you felt. And I didn't want to talk about how I felt. I didn't want to experience those feelings again because I put them away.
Yeah.
So it took a while, but I was able to write how I felt. And like Monica said, it is a very freeing experience once you are done.
Yeah, liberating.
Yeah,
the truth sets free. That's what it's all about. Naked, unashamed, unapologetic with our truth. That's what this platform is. You got to get the courage though, and build that muscle where you're ready. And I'm very sensitive to that everybody's not there yet.
Right.
Right. And that's okay. It is a process. And sometimes it's really, really difficult. But you can do it. And the reason why these beautiful ladies are on today is because they've done their work, right? That's amazing. Absolutely beautiful.
If I could just chime in for 1 second, I just want to say that sometimes people aren't looking for romance. They're homeless. And I know, Nakisha, I don't know all the ins and outs of what you've been through, but maybe a lot of us have been people pleasers at some point in our lives. And so we're thinking, oh, if I leave this person, what's he going to do? Is he going to be okay? He's going to be starving. And some people, they're not looking for romance. They homeless.
What do you mean? Like, you got my mind all jacked up.
I don't want to judge anybody's situation, but I've sometimes seen people where they leave their partner and then they come back when it's in the summertime, they want to have hot girl summer, hot boy summer. They leave their partner. Then in the wintertime, when it's cold outside, they be like, oh, I miss my family. I want my family back. I want to be with you. I want to be with our child. And I'm not a parent, so I don't know all of how that goes. But sometimes people aren't looking for romance. They're homeless. And not just homeless physically, but like homeless in their mind. Like, they just lost. So I thank you so much. Nikisha, I feel so grateful to be connected to you in this moment, you know, because I didn't know you before Janaea introduced us via this project. So I just feel so grateful for your story, Nikisha, and I feel inspired by you. So thank you.
Awesome. Look at the love. Oh my God. All right, ladies. Aisha, Miss Susan, what you guys waiting on? Jump in here. We're playing Double Dutch.
I'm so ready. My segment in the book is Balance is Bogus. And I too come from that background of like overachieving, just feeling like you have to do all of the things with a certain level of excellence. And that transferred into my personal and my family life to the degree that it was detrimental to my health. So I talk about a physical breakdown that I personally experienced, you know, just trying to do all of the things. And that ended up, you know, just having physical effects on my health. So I, you know, talk about dealing with that and momming through all of the madness. I have two little ones, they're 7 and 4, and they don't always understand what we go through as parents. And I resonate with so many of you. You were talking about your experiences growing up. Janaea, we have a very similar story. I was at home for the longest with my mom after, you know, a number of situations that she had gone through. So she and I were extremely close. And as a woman, I look back over my life and I can clearly see where there were some times where she needed some of what I try to do, some of what we're doing for women right now. I'm like, she needed a support system, a network. She needed this, that, and the other. Maybe if she had those things, my experience as a child would have been a little bit different. So I look back and I clearly see that there were times where I wish she would have chosen herself. And I started to see different things going on in my situation. It's like, okay, well, I can't keep trying to hold on to what things look like from the outside looking in. Like this idea of, you know, balancing the relationship and the girls and work and, you know, all of the things. You can't spin all the plates all the time, every single day. You have to know when to put something down and pick up something else, and that's fine. That's okay. It doesn't have to look like anybody else's anything. We have to do what we need to do for ourselves as women and as moms. You know, people say you can't pour from an empty cup. That is absolutely true. I can give from my overflow, but what I cannot continue to do is take the drops in my cup and, you know, ration those out to everybody else, because at the end of the day, I was absolutely physically left with absolutely nothing, and I was no good to any of them. So that's the space that I share from in my segment, you know, hoping that women understand that it doesn't necessarily have to be this, you know, grandiose situation, because I felt like that too. It's like, oh, well, this isn't that. So it doesn't, I don't need to talk about it. I don't need to share, you know, I'm just dealing with this little tiny thing over here. Well, this bag doesn't look as heavy as the bags that this person is carrying and that person is carrying. So I don't need to, you know, make a big deal about my stuff. I'll be okay. Well, that's not the case. And I'm sharing so that all women can understand whatever your story is, whatever your situation is, it deserves to be shared, because you never know who that story or who that testimony will bless. I've just shared briefly about some of the things that I talked about. And so many women, so many of my friends are like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing. Well, this is what I experienced. This is what happened with me. You know, what do you recommend that I do about this, that, or the other? And I've been able to either, you know, share from my own experience or also connect them with other resources that will help them wherever they are in their journey. And that would not have been the case had I not, you know, stepped out on faith. I listened to Soldier Tap and I decided that now was the time to get out of my own way and, you know, step into the greatness that God was calling me to do and to be, and know that it just looks like whatever it's going to look like for me, that I don't have to have this idea of having it all together and balancing everything a certain way. I'm just living in it. I'm just taking it one day at a time, and I'm lifting as I climb for the other queens who may need a hand. I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about their babies. If I can just be that support to help another mom in a moment of difficulty, you know, just be able to turn around and go back to that situation where the kids are screaming, dishes are everywhere, you know, they've got to get bath time and everything together, just to be able to give them a moment to say, you know, you've got this, take a minute to, you know, get yourself together and, you know, reset, refresh, and go back at it when you're able to.
Yes, that's absolutely beautiful. I particularly love the fact that you said, you know, if your mothers had the support system that we actually have now, it's amazing to think about that. And also to really create a support system for the next generation, or that we take the opportunity to work through our issues and properly heal so that we are not perpetrating generational curses.
That part.
And we're breaking that pattern. We're disrupting that pattern so that these girls can have a better chance at having a really good life. And there's going to be stuff anyway, by default, right? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when life happens, but at least they're being in a better position to handle what throws at them. So that's pretty phenomenal. Thank you for sharing that. Amazing. Miss Susan.
Yes.
Drop the wisdom on us, Miss Susan. Some more wisdom.
Wisdom. My story is about losing my only parent. And then right after, like a couple months later, getting a disease that could have killed me if I didn't have God. If I didn't talk to him all the time, and I prayed to him all the time, I felt like he brought my mom's spirit into our home. When I would go around my mom's picture that we had on the piano, I kept hearing this noise. And so one day we were coming from opposite directions, my husband and I, and we met at the piano where the picture was. And I said, "What is that noise around my mom's picture?" And he said, "That's your mom." And I was like, oh my God, I thought I was going crazy. I thought the same thing, but I didn't want to say it.
Right.
So my story is like, I want people to know that even after your parents leave or anybody that you love leaves, if that love is there, it's going to come back to help you even after they're gone. Whenever you need them, as long as you feel them in your heart, they're going to come back and help you. And even the doctors couldn't understand how I was still alive. So right now I'm like living on borrowed time. It was in 2005 and I'm still here. Wow. And I remember praying to my mom that I'm like, I thought she came for me. And I was like, I love you and I miss you, but I'm not ready to go yet. There's things for me to still do. I don't know what I need to do. I don't know what else I have to do, but I felt in my heart of hearts that it was more that I needed to do. And over the time I've touched people, not realizing it until they told me. But I always prayed to the Lord, growing up feeling with a single mom, feeling different from everybody else. Like we were really strict. It was like nobody was allowed in the house. And because we lived with a lot of people, my mom lived, she had her mom. And then sometimes her brothers and sisters need help. So they would come with us. And then it would be cousins that was there. So it was like, no, we got enough people in the house. And we weren't allowed to like invite other people in. So I always felt like I was different. But I always was confident in who I was. I guess I was a little bullied as a child, but we didn't even know the word bully when I grew up. But I grew up with, my mom taught me sticks and stones will break my bones and words will never harm me. So if they told me something, I was just like, whatever. I know I'm not like that. And I would just keep going. And my faith in God just kept me strong. I see a lot of kids now that don't have religion, and so they don't have that source to pull from. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why there's some kids that are taking their lives when they're bullied, because they don't have that inner person that's there to help them through those times. So I just wanted to get my story out. And when I got in touch with Janaea through somebody else, I didn't even know that she was one of my parents, that I had her child in my class. It was like we were talking on the phone when she finally caught up with me, and we're talking on the phone And she said, well, she wanted to call me at a certain time. And I said, well, I still work during the day. I work in childcare. And she was like, wait a minute, Susan, is this Miss Susan? And I was like, and I'm like, wait a minute. And she said, this is Janae's mom. I'm like, I know your voice sounded familiar, but I couldn't, I'm trying to figure out who is she, because she sounds familiar. And so that just shows you how God reached out.
Yes.
That we can't, like, I knew her, she knew me as a teacher, and I knew her as a parent coming into my school. I didn't know what she did. I didn't know what else, what other life. You don't know what people are doing. You don't mm-hmm. know other things that are going on in people's lives. Right. When I go to the school, I always try to keep a smile, because when I first started, I can't remember what it was that was going on, and I was taking care of a baby, and I realized, like, after a couple of hours, like, the baby was looking at me strange, and I realized that I wasn't talking and laughing like I normally did, and I knew that I couldn't bring that to school.
Right.
We have to be there for them to substitute for the parent that they don't have and make them feel secure. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I knew whatever was going on, I left it at the door. When I go in, I smile, I'm happy, and I talk. Yeah. I've helped parents. When I first started, we had babies that were only 6 weeks old. They didn't always have the Family Leave Act where parents could leave their kids, wait to leave their kids at 4, 5, 6, 7 months. They had to leave them at 6 weeks. That's mm-hmm. awful. And mm-hmm. so I missed my mom when she left, even though I was with my granny. There was no childcare when I grew up. Right. You had grannies, and I had my granny. So, and I missed my mom until she came home. She used to drink coffee and then leave, and her lipstick would be on the cup. And so I would drink, she would leave, she always drank to a sip. So I would go and drink that sip in the lipstick that she left, like drinking on that same spot so that I could feel close to her. So I always tell the parents, I try to treat the kids like they're mine. Like I want my child to be treated.
Wow.
And that's my story. I just wanted to, and to tell people, when you're sick and they tell you to go to the hospital, go to the hospital. Because I could have lost my life because I didn't want them to put me in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, you know, and I really came very close. And so it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So that's my story.
I love it. I love it. And we are so grateful for just your heart and your presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dr. J, to have a person like that to care for your kids, geez, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love to hear about your bond to your mom. You speak like it's right now, like you're that 5-year-old all over again.
Yeah.
You still speak about her like it just happened. It's amazing, that bond, regardless of transitions. It's so powerful, and it resonates deeply with me because I lost my mom, and as of January, lost my dad. And I was a daddy's girl, but also close to my mom. So I can definitely relate to what it feels like not to have them here. And I also, now I'm going to be looking for, like, okay, where y'all at? Feeling close to them. My son bought me a wind chime and I placed it on my back porch. So that just brought peace to my heart. I'm just kind of rambling right now, but you really blessed me. And I know you had something special for us when you got the opportunity to share. So thank you for all you do and loving on those babies and treating them as if they are your own. And I agree with you that there is more for you to do. And this was one of those things. You were supposed to be here to be part of this anthology. So amazing. Small world. God, there's never a coincidence. It was supposed to happen. Ladies, our hour is basically up. Any last words? I'm not going to pick on anyone specifically, but if any of you have any last words that you want to share to bless the listeners, please jump in.
What I'll say is just something simple, quick takeaway, you know, for the listeners to surrender who they are for who they could become. That's all you need to do, is just surrender and let God work. Let him create you all anew in his image. Yep. It's me, Dr. Brandy, signing off. Thank you. Thank you, Cherie. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for that.
And I'll follow that up with the message that it is okay to choose you. This is Aisha Catalano. And yes, following that up, Dr. Brandy, I'm ready to surrender who I am for who I can become. And I hope other people get the message as well. So no excuses, just go for it. It is a-okay to choose you.
And you know what? I'm going to follow that up because you're right, Aisha. It is okay to choose you. You know you're in that relationship that you know that you don't need to be in, that you know that you need to get out of. You need to get out of that relationship. And I'm going to tell you exactly how. You need to turn your Bible to John 14:14. And the word of God says, and this, the words are in red, so y'all know what that means. Okay. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Woo! Drop the mic.
Ask him to be released. Ask him to be delivered, and he will not forsake you.
Wow.
I will say, if even when you cannot love yourself, remember that God loves you and hold on to his love so that you can get through.
Wow. Beautiful.
I'll just say, you know, you do not have to live or operate in a space of abuse or bondage. Jesus died on the cross so that you can live your best life. That doesn't mean that your life is going to be free of pain, because the Bible tells us that we will suffer. But just know that if you are in bondage, if somebody is abusing you, if somebody is exposing you to STDs, not just physical diseases, but spiritually transmitted diseases, you don't have to live like that. So choose the Lord. God's got your back.
Good Lord.
I like to say, trust in yourself, believe in yourself, be strong, and just pray to the Lord. Get out of his way. I read something once where it said to just believe in yourself. You know, when you pray, people pray, and then they say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. It's not in our time. It's in his time. It will come. So you have to pray and then get out of his way and then wait till it comes. You'll know.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I just wanted to quickly chime in. Cherie, this has been amazing. We all appreciate just being here on this platform. Again, this is Dr. Janaea, a.k.a. Dr. J. And one last thing I just wanted to say, God is always mindful of you. His thoughts are amazing for you. Whatever God has for you, you can have it. There is nothing too hard or impossible when you have God in your life and by your side.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I do want to reference the website, www.confidentqueen.org. Janaea, can they order the book through the website?
So as of right now, our pre-sale has started. They can go to my website, which is www.janaeawhite.com. That's where they can go to my authorship website. You can go there. But if you would like to impart and partake in what we have amazing for our Black and Brown queens, you can go to confidentqueen.org. We have the Power Up Summit coming up, which is going to be Wednesday, August 10th, where we're having a full day of conference pouring into our young Black women and girls so they can have a successful back to school year.
Excellent. Amazing work that you're doing. High five to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being my very special guest on another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. Savannah, want to remind you that viewpoints expressed in the preceding program were not necessarily that of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And until next week, goodbye.